Put your finger on Luke 24. Put another finger on Acts 1. And then put another finger in Acts 2. Let your fingers do the walking. Let your fingers do the walking. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Luke 24. Luke 24, let's start in verse 44. Just go ahead and sit where you are. Just, y'all let y'all go ahead and chill today. Just go ahead and relax. And let that cool air begin to circulate on that water that's on you. Cool you right down. Verse 44. He said to them, he is who? Jesus. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. So that means that everything in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms is about Jesus. Then he, listen to what he did. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He opened their mind. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. Beginning at Jerusalem, you are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. He said that I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Hallelujah. Start in verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They do not know what to expect. Oh. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Turn the page to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. Somebody say, all together. All together. In one place, suddenly. Don't you want to just stay right there for a minute? Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us your experience from heaven. Father, we need your wisdom. We seek your knowledge. We desire your understanding. Open it up to us. Cause us to receive. Bless your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Today, life is being spirit-filled. I don't expect to finish this today because we're talking about the Holy Spirit. The Church of Jesus Christ, for all intents and purposes, was never created to be a powerless entity. The church was not created to be defeated. That's good. Is that good? Yes. Can you see me? Yes. Amen. The more thing is to hear me is more important. Amen. The church was not created to be defeated. It wasn't in God's mind for the church to lose. Not one battle. Not one conflict. It's not in God's mind for us to be victims. He created the church to be a glorious, victorious church. That's God's mindset. That he would want us to be undefeated. Tell somebody I'm undefeated. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The only begotten of the Father gave his life a ransom that the body of Christ, the church, will be both glorious and victorious. Say, I'm defeated. Undefeated. Yes. You should be undefeated. I don't care how many battles you've been through, you're supposed to be undefeated. No. Don't get it in your mind and don't let the enemy put it in your mind that you're supposed to lose. Amen. You're not supposed to lose a battle. Amen. God didn't call you to lose a battle. God didn't call you to lose a war. Yeah. Say undefeated. Now, when God causes us, the church, to be undefeated, that means that he's at the forefront of every victory. Yes. He stands at the front. Waving the banner, the blood-stained banner of Christ. When the enemy sees us, he doesn't just look at us. He sees the banner. He sees the red banner, the blood-washed, the blood-stained, the blood-clean deliverance that God brings to his people. He sees the banner of the blood. Jesus Christ gave his life so that we can be victorious. That's why he gave his life. He didn't give his life for us to come to service and just cry. And say, what a good thing he did for me. He loved me so much he gave his life. He did that, and that's great, wonderful. But it's much more than that. Much, much more. Jesus came and took a place where he never existed and lived in it. Never been in a debauched place like this. Never been relegated like he had. Never been put in a place where he had to suffer. He's the King of glory. And he had to undress himself and come down to this earth and fight for your life so that you can remain undefeated. Ha! Jesus. He did that. And sometimes when we hear God, we don't understand God. See, all of us readily understand God the Father. We understand God the Son. But the Holy Spirit remains a mystery. Some of us still call him it. When it is clear by scriptures that he's told to us that he's a person. Not only is he a person of the word of God, he is the author of the word of God. He makes the word come alive. The Holy Spirit is God's power. Good God Almighty. He's God's power. Did you not know that the Holy Spirit was the power of God? The Bible calls him constantly in the Old Testament the Spirit of God. Spirit of God. We just read in Luke where he was promised. He is a promise. God the Father promised the Spirit. The Spirit showed up, and he showed up in power. But just because he showed up in Acts, that does not mean that he did not exist before that. He's always been around. He was around when God first created the heavens and the earth. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Because a lot of us need to get a thorough understanding of not only the Father, Son, but the Holy Spirit. You need to understand the triune God. You need to know who you have working in your behalf. God and all of heaven is behind us. Oh, mercy. Genesis chapter 1. We're introduced to him immediately. Hallelujah. Immediately. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the water depths. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Hovering. He's hovering. See? He's always hovering, isn't he? The Holy Spirit. See, sometimes when you're in this building, you don't know he's hovering. And he's just looking for a place to land. A place where he can do something beneficial. Hovering so he can cover you. Fall on your situation. Fall on your conflict. He's always hovering. Remember now when Jesus was baptized, it said that the Spirit descended like a dove hovers. Waiting to do something. You see, and you know, he's over the waters while God is creating. He's waiting for a word. Good God. See, the Spirit of God can't do anything without a word. He's got to have a word from God. He's got power. But God is the God of the word. And God understands that he can't do what he wants to do. The Holy Spirit can't do a thing without God saying, I speak this to you. So he hovers. He landed on Jesus once and only when Father said, this is my beloved son. And the dove just, he descended upon him. Now, when he descended upon him, he gave Jesus power. Jesus didn't have this power without the Holy Spirit. I want to clarify that. Jesus didn't move in any area of his life without the Holy Spirit. You want to be like Jesus, you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I might hover all day long. I feel good. But that's what God wants to do. He wants to fill his people with power. He told the disciples, go into the place where I'm sending you and stay there until you be endued with power. Don't go anywhere because you get a good report. Stay there until you get the power. You shouldn't be satisfied with anything else but the power. If it doesn't have power, you ought to get bored. I don't want that. Good preaching ought to bore you. If there's no spirit in it, it ought to bore you. You don't sense the Spirit of God moving? Go buy an ice cream cone. You might as well, because you're wasting your time. I said last week, we need to stop waiting on powerless activities. Where you don't think the Holy Spirit is doing anything. He moves on the word of God. And so this third person of the Godhead, see, you will not find the word Trinity in the Bible. You won't find that word, but you will see the principle of it in the Word of God. Because when he, in Matthew, when he came to be baptized, says that when he came up out of the water, you want to go there? Go to Matthew chapter 3. Need somebody to see it. Hallelujah. Verse 16. Are you there? Yes. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went, this Jesus, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open. And he saw the Spirit of God. Two, descending like a dove. And lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, three, that's my Father. So you see Jesus coming out the water. You see the Spirit of God descending. And you hear the voice of the Father from heaven saying, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. Trinity does not mean there are three gods. It's one God. There are three persons with three different offices. I'm a husband. That's one office. I'm a father. I'm in another office. I'm a pastor. I'm in another office. You understand that? So you have the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son. They're in offices where they're each assigned to do certain things. But that does not stop them from being one God. The Lord our God is one God. That's what the nation of Israel had to say every morning. Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Lord my God is one God. Every morning they had to recite that. And so we understand that he is one God. But there are three persons. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God the Father. God the Son. You cannot pray, Father, thank you for dying on the cross for me, because the Father didn't die. The Son died. Amen. In flesh. Amen. On Calvary. It was the Son. Hallelujah. But the Bible tells us in the New Testament that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Same Spirit. What Spirit was that? The Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit raised him from the dead. Offices. Jesus. I might be getting ahead of myself, but I got to show you this. Jesus is considered the priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's a high priest. Jesus, even though he had the power of the Holy Spirit, he couldn't leave here without the Holy Spirit taking places with him. He couldn't. In order for Jesus to leave here, Jesus didn't have just to go to heaven. Jesus had an office to fulfill. So he had an office as a priestly minister. But the Bible says that he's the great high priest. He couldn't become great high priest until he ascended to heaven. What kind of high priest is that? What does a priest do? A high priest looks over all the offerings. Watches over all of the altar work. Watches over all of the worship. Now Jesus, in order for him to ascend to that high place of being great high priest, he had to have an exchange. In order for him to get there, the Holy Spirit had to get here. Good God from Zion. I could see the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost when he fell on all of those who were told to wait. Jesus told him, wait, wait. until you're being endued with power. How did Jesus know what to do? Jesus figured like this. By the time I get to the office of high priest, the Holy Spirit ought to be there, filling it up with power. Good God Almighty. He's the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So it had to be an exchange. Couldn't you see Jesus going by the Holy Spirit and doing them like this? Your turn. It's your turn now. Jesus walked the earth so that we could see how to do it. That's what his purpose was. I'm going to walk this earth in power, undefeated, so that the church can see how it's done. Jesus was undefeated. They thought he was defeated at the cross, but he wasn't. Jesus still undefeated. Because the Bible says that he took captivity captive. He went down and descended. He descended down in hell for 3 days. Preached the gospel in hell. Set the captive free. Set captivity captive. And then took a train to heaven. Showing everybody how to do it. That's what he did. Jesus walked with power. The power he walked with was the Holy Spirit that was on him. Matter of fact, after he was baptized, the first thing the scripture tells us in chapter 4, that he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. Jesus wasn't afraid of the devil. Jesus walked right up to his front door and said, "Here I come." And the power of the Holy Spirit was on him, which enabled Jesus to be undefeated even in the wilderness. Be tempted 40 days and 40 nights with the Holy Spirit on him. People talking about they're going to fast 40 days like Jesus. You better have the Holy Spirit. Because we're going to be burying you after 32 days. You try it without the Holy Ghost. You got to have the Holy Spirit, church. The reason that we're facing so many situations that we cannot handle is because we don't have the power. We're trying to accomplish it ourselves, which is an impossibility. God did not put you on the earth to handle your own business. He didn't put you here to handle your own business. That's why he told the disciples, stay there until what my Father promised comes. My Father promised power. And he said, you'll have power to be witnesses. See, the first thing the power does from the Holy Spirit is causes you to be a witness. Not a big shot. A witness. That's the first thing on the agenda. Power to be a witness for Christ. Not fearful. The Holy Spirit doesn't cause you to be fearful. In fact, the Holy Spirit gives you boldness. Anybody been reading the book of Acts lately? You got to understand now that these people that followed Jesus, these disciples, these individuals who were weak-kneed, the individuals that didn't have boldness, didn't have courage. They were scared stiff when they came and arrested Jesus. This same Peter that was afraid of a woman that asked him, "Weren't you with him?" Peter shrieked back out of fear of saying that he was with Jesus. He said, "You talk like him. You smell like him. You must have been around him." "No, not me, not me." And then he began to cuss. But this same Peter, he's up in the room with 120. There's 120 of them up in this house. Men and women. Up in the house waiting for something that God had promised. The Bible says suddenly, while they were all sitting together, they had something in common. They weren't just up there. They didn't know what to look for. They didn't know what to expect. These people had never experienced the Holy Ghost. They never heard of the Holy Ghost. They didn't know what the Holy Spirit was. But they had expectation that God said something was coming. We're going to wait on it. See, you're not supposed to know what's coming. What kind of God do you think we serve that's going to give you stuff that you already know what it is? That's no surprise. If somebody came to you and said, "Happy birthday, I bought you something," and you know what it is already, what surprise is that? You gave me a tie like the one you gave me last year. Same tie. But you know what I found out about God? He never does the same thing twice. Never. Everything he does is fresh. Everything he does is brand new. I didn't say that what he says is fresh and brand new, because he says the same thing to everybody. He who has ears, let him hear what the Lord is saying. But he does present situations that he doesn't duplicate. He doesn't duplicate that. And so what has happened is that this Peter begins to stand up, because they receive some power in this upper room that came. They said it sounded like the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Have you ever lived close to a railroad track? Yes. You can't sleep when a train comes, hey? It's loud. Loud, loud, loud. Anybody ever been in a serious tornado? Where the wind sounded so loud it was going to bust everything up. This is what they experienced. I'm pretty sure when that thing came, they ducked. They didn't just sit up and say, oh, what's going on? See, we think like that. But these people probably ducked, probably covered their heads, didn't know what was going on, and then to have a door shut and wind blowing inside a building. Got louder and louder and louder and louder and louder and louder and louder. And they start holding their ears. And then somebody looked up and they saw fire. Fire? The building wasn't on fire, just like that bush in the wilderness with Moses. The bush was burning, but it wasn't consumed. This room was burning with fire, but nothing was burning up. And they saw fire just landing on everybody. And all of them in the room start seeing the fire getting on them, but wasn't burning them. Wasn't burning anybody. It's on me, but it's not burning me. I can see them trying to get it off, but the fire is on them. And before they could get it off, they start changing. Something on the inside start changing. They start looking at each other differently. All of a sudden, they start speaking in a language they did not understand. They were speaking loud and clear, and they felt power. They rushed out of that building. The Bible says they went out in the street and started talking. And everybody from all over the nation heard their language being spoken. Aren't we Medes and Parthians, and we're from this place and that place, and yet we hear them speaking in our language? The Holy Ghost was translating everybody's language. He put it in 120 and said, God didn't speak. The power of God started translating languages so that people who didn't know God, that came from such a long way, couldn't meet him. God is so good. He said, yeah, they speak that other language, but I got somebody who can understand exactly what they're talking about. Because he was drawing men to himself. The Bible said Peter, he didn't take up a microphone. He just stood up on a box and started talking. Peter said, this power, good God, this power that you see, it ain't us. They start talking. The folk that knew Peter and them, grew up with them, knew where their jobs were. Say, wait a minute, hold up. These unlearned men, they ain't been to school. Talking like this. Peter started giving the testimony of Jesus Christ. Peter started telling him how you killed the prince of life. You killed him. And he stood up. People started wondering where he get this language from. Where did he learn to talk like that? He didn't go to school. Talk like this. And the Bible says they call them drunk. 9 o'clock in the morning. They out there speaking. The people say, they drunk. Peter said, we are not drunk as you suppose. But Peter said, but this is that was prophesied by the Joel, by the prophet Joel, that in the last days he would pour out his spirit on all flesh. They thought they were drunk. They were filled with power. And the Bible said that so much power came out of his preaching. 1,000, 3,000 got saved the first day. 3,000 got saved the first day. 3,000. The people got upset with Peter, got mad with him, and they beat Peter and them. They beat him for speaking in power and courage and boldness. The Bible said they went to jail and the Holy Ghost came and shook them out. Shook the jail. Shook the jail. Shook the jail. This ain't Paul and Silas. This is Peter. Shook the jail. Released them and they went back out to speak in the street and the people said 5,000 more came. 5,000 more? This ain't Peter preaching. This is the Holy Ghost. For those of you who don't know who he is, he's the author of the word. He gives life to the word. The Bible itself was written by 40 different writers. But they were 40 different writers over decades and decades and decades apart. Centuries almost. How in the world, you might ask yourself, can Samuel write something and be consistent in writing it with something that Solomon would write? Be consistent with something that Paul would write when they didn't know each other. Over years and years of time, how can the lesson in the Bible be so consistent? Somebody would say, well, you know, that's the white man. Tell me you ain't heard that. Everybody want to try to disprove what God is saying, so they'll come up with an excuse why they don't want to read the Bible, why they don't want to believe the Holy Ghost. So they'll tell you, I can't believe the Bible because a man wrote it. Ah, I can't dispute that. Men did write it. But the Bible says that they were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write what they wrote. That means that the Holy Spirit used an available vessel to just do what I'm telling you to do. And you might think it's your thoughts, not knowing that it's the Holy Spirit telling you what to do. You can't even prophesy without the Holy Ghost. You can't. Let's see what the scripture says. Huh? Let's see what the scripture says. Thank you, Pastor Minor. I need these. We're going to get there. Just hold your horses. Listen to what the wisest man who ever lived said. Solomon, son of David, Proverbs 9 and 10. The church at large has been neither strong or powerful, simply because man has largely rendered the church helpless, mostly due to a lack of knowledge concerning the Holy Spirit. Lack of knowledge concerning the Holy Spirit. For so long, the Holy Spirit was used to make, every time somebody jumped in church, we thought it was the Holy Spirit. When somebody fell down under the power. I almost fell, but I ain't gonna bump my head. You know how it is when people fall under the power. I don't doubt that that's not the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit, when he takes you down, old, he brings you up new. You see, you don't get up the same person you were before you went down. If you went down cussing, you ought to come up non-cussing. You went down drunk, you ought to get up sober. You go down mean, you ought to get up kind. If you go down a hater, you come up a lover. That's when you go down and you still the same when you come up. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was cocktail sauce, cabbage, something. That's something you ate. The Holy Spirit is looking for people to come up changed. So when he sends you down, he'll bring you up changed. He changed Peter. He changed 120 people in the upper room. Changed them. The Holy Spirit brings change. There's so much running in me right now. I can hear it so clear. I can hear it. Listen to what is said in the Old Testament. When the king had a problem with his dreams, you know what he asked for? Send me a man who has the spirit in him. Send me somebody that got the spirit. Oh, we know such a man. And remember, even when Joseph got locked down and they needed somebody, he said, oh, I heard that you have the spirit of God on you. Come tell me what I need to know. See how instrumental the spirit is? Because he gives you wisdom that you don't get on your own. Wisdom and knowledge that you can't get on your own. I applaud you. Go to college, get all you can. Get your master's. Do your thesis. Get all of the awards that college affords. You're paying for it. But don't come out spiritless.
Yes. Amen.
You need to take the Holy Spirit with you into these places so that you can indoctrinate some people who don't know who the Holy Spirit is. They are trying to wash the Spirit of God from you. You need to be bold and strong enough to take it with you and stay undefeated. That's the mindset that you got to keep all the time now. I am undefeated. In the NCAA, there are not a lot of teams that go undefeated, be it whatever sport it may be. But when they are applauded. Didn't lose a game. The Miami Dolphins are still being applauded as the only team in the NFL to ever go undefeated. There are teams that have come close and lose one game. Get away. You can't talk about it. There are teams that came close, lost two games in the last minute. The Green Bay Packers had an opportunity last year. They look completely unstoppable. And they went to the last game and got blown out. They can't even speak about being undefeated. But the church can. You can have a record of never losing. I'm not saying you're not going to get your feelings hurt. People get their feelings hurt all the time. But you can get your feelings hurt and still win. My. You can get turned down for a job and still win. Huh? You can miss payment on a bill and still be undefeated. Huh? Undefeated. I'm undefeated. You mean tell me, Pastor, I thought you lost a battle last week. No, sir. No, I didn't. I had a battle, but I'm undefeated. No, I can't lose. Because the Bible tells me that he always causes me to triumph. Always. He never said he causes me to lose a battle every now and then. No. You have to think like the Word thinks. Get on the Word side and start agreeing with God about what he says about us. God says I'm undefeated, then I'm undefeated. God will call, y'all remember Champ? Let me show you this before we go there. You know Muhammad Ali was, he was the greatest. But Muhammad Ali lost a fight. He lost to Joe Frazier. But you know what? The men in his corner, his team, his manager, they never stopped calling him champ. Even though he lost. Come on, champ. So when he went up against Foreman, and Foreman was a bad man, Foreman was knocking brothers out. Foreman was knocking brothers out for lunch. Bam! Get out of here. Bam! Get out of here. And everybody thought that Foreman was such a terror because Foreman was knocking brothers out. The people that took a long time with Ali, Foreman was annihilating them, knocking them out the ring. Beating him into submission. And so everybody began to fear Foreman because he was a big brute that swung, like Ali said, like a swinging gate. Ali said, you can hear the wind coming before he even get to you. people falling out. And so when Ali fought Foreman, everybody said, well, you're going to lose, champ. You're going to lose. He's too much for you. He's bigger than you. He's stronger than you. He's younger than you. He's knocked out the people that you gave, had a fit with. Ali standing still bouncing. I love that. He's still bouncing. They still calling him champ. Come on, champ. He in the ring with Foreman. Foreman giving him everything he got. Hitting him with some hard shots. And Ali just taking him. Push him off. He hit Foreman with a couple of blows at the end of the round and go back to the corner. Every round, he'll come in and do the same thing. Hit Foreman at the end of the round and go back to the corner. Then one time Foreman had him and hit him kind of hard. I said, hitting him kind of hard. Ali pushed him off and went back to the corner. Then he came out one time and he talked to George in his ear and said, okay, George, is that all you got, George? George said, I guess I do. Foreman is the champion. But his corner, Ali's corner is saying, get him, champ. Get him, champ. He ain't got no power. He ain't got no power, champ. He ain't got no power. I want to tell you, undefeated folk, when the devil come against you, he ain't got no power. God is calling you champ. Saying you get out there and fight that devil. He can't do nothing with you. You have the Holy Ghost. You can't lose. You're undefeated. At the end of the fight, Ali sit down like a champion. George Foreman was just amazed. He was shocked that he had lost this fight. Never in his wildest dreams he had thought that Ali would knock him out like that. See, but once you know what God has called you, it doesn't matter what battles you've been through. I don't care what people call you. God is calling you champ. Come on, champ. Sometimes you seem like you're getting down and you don't know if you're going to make it. You hear the voice of the Holy Spirit say, come on, champ. You just can't pay the bill. You hear the Holy Spirit say, come on, champ. Come on, champ. I got you. I got your back. I'm going to take care of that. Come on, champ. It's good to have somebody in your corner calling you a winner when you don't feel like you're winning. So the Holy Spirit pulled Peter and the rest of the bunch out of a place where they were called unlearned men. They didn't want to know how you get this ability, why you talk like this. But because the Holy Spirit is mentioned, and this is what the dilemma is, sometimes because he's a mystery, because he's mentioned last in the Bible all the time, we think he's the least. Or he's less. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And I think that's why a lot of times we neglect him. Because he seemed to be lost in the crowd. But he's not. Because when Jesus and the Father and the Spirit got together, when they were going to create man, the first thing they said, well, let us. They worked well together. They came to a conclusion way before eternity that Jesus was going to do this. It wasn't when Satan fell. That is not when God made a decision. God made a decision way back before time. This is what we're going to do. And Jesus, if he had not offered himself, God couldn't have given him. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. But he could not have given him if Jesus had not given himself up to that. See, there had to be some agreement. You know, they don't do anything apart from each other, this Trinity, this triune God. They don't do anything apart from each other. Jesus said, I won't do anything unless I hear my Father say it. The Holy Spirit, in turn, when he was released in this earth, he said, everything that the Son says, I reveal that to you, to the church. So they are on one page all the time. And the Holy Spirit speaks through 40 different writers. to produce this book. And he anointed every one of them. I got so many things running in this mind. Remember this. I want you to understand this. In Exodus, the book of Exodus, one of the greatest buildings ever enacted had to be the tabernacle in the wilderness. God took Moses. Hear me now. God took Moses. The Bible says took him up to heaven. Took him up to a high mountain. But he actually took him into heaven. And he showed Moses a tabernacle in heaven. And told Moses, I want you to go back down to earth and build the exact replica of what I'm showing you in heaven. Showed him. He showed him. Took him up to a mountain and showed him in heaven, a tabernacle in heaven, and said, go down and do the same thing. Now, it had to be the Holy Spirit that caused Moses to even remember. He had to have the Holy Spirit to remember all of that. And so Moses comes down, and he's all by himself in the vision. But the Holy Spirit don't leave, see. He'll never leave you. He won't forsake you. So the Holy Spirit comes down with Moses and tells Moses, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to anoint people to help you. So he anoints individuals to help Moses build a tabernacle. One named Bezalel. Artisans. The Spirit anoints them, gives them skill, gives them ability, gives them wisdom, gives them power. That's what he wants to do with you if we stop neglecting him. Gave them the wherewithal to erect something that Moses saw in heaven. Power. And one time Moses got so overwhelmed with the people, he didn't know how he was going to do this. God said, go get 70 elders. Go get 70 elders. And God took the spirit that was on Moses, Spirit of God, took the spirit that was on Moses and put it on 70 different individuals. Why did he do that? Because the scripture says, be not unequally yoked. A person filled with the Spirit will find it very difficult working with people who are not. Y'all didn't catch that. You can't work with somebody if you're filled with the Holy Ghost and they're not, you won't get it. That's why he wants all of us to be anointed so that we can work together as the body of Christ. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, we can hold conversation without even talking because what's in you agrees with what's in me. And if we need to get it done, all we got to do is put our hands to the plow and get busy. We don't understand what the purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit is for. Jesus said, I'll build my church. How? By the Holy Ghost. I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Holy Ghost. And walking around, we walk around without him. We walk around jobless without the Holy Spirit. We walk around with cares without the Holy Spirit. We walk around frustrated without the Holy Spirit. That's the problem. You're a believer. You're born to have the Holy Spirit. John said, there comes one after me. He said, I baptize with water, but there's one coming after me. He's going to baptize with fire and with the Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is for accomplishing God's purposes and plans in the earth through you. God wants to use you and you and you and you, and we all play an integral part. If we walk in this thing filled with the power, overflow, filled with the Spirit, living Spirit-filled lives, hearing God's voice in the midst of a crowd, and here you are, don't know which way you should go, and you're in the midst of a crowd, you got an interview at 12 o'clock, and here it is 5 minutes to 12, and you're in a crowd of people and don't know which building it is, and you don't have the Holy Spirit, you might as well miss that interview. But if you've got the Holy Spirit speaking into your understanding, he'll direct you. He'll tell you which way to go. He'll tell you who to see. He'll tell you what door to go in. He'll tell you that they're waiting on you. And if they try to move too fast, he'll go before you and tell them, not right now. She's not here yet. She's not here yet. So the meeting should have been at 12. The man said we had to push it back to 12:10. Just so you could make it. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. We're undefeated. God wants to keep us undefeated. You don't lose. No. You're down, but you're not out. Hallelujah. And when you get up, you got to get up and do it again. So the enemy knocked you down a couple of times. Get up. Don't give the enemy a chance to rejoice over you, it says in the scripture. Don't rejoice over me. I might fall. I'll get back up. See? He said, don't rejoice over me because I fall down. And our thing is that we got to learn how to get up and have confidence in the Spirit of God that's resting in my life. See, we have a better covenant than they had in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Spirit rested upon them. And they were for duties that God wanted them to accomplish. Every judge God raised up, he put the Spirit on, he put it on Samson. But the Spirit is a shaker. You know how you shake up you shake up a salt shaker or a pepper shaker. You shake it up to break it up on the inside. The Holy Spirit does that to us. He shakes us up to break up the stuff on the inside so that what in us can come out easier. Every can of these that you see will tell you, shake well before using. Shake well before using. See, when you're going through some stuff, feel like you're being shaken. Feel like I'm going through some tough times. Feel like things not right. But that's just the Holy Spirit shaking you. Shaking you up. Shaking you in the right situation. Shaking you up. Shaking you that it don't feel too good. Shaking you till you don't feel like it's God. But then God said, now that I've shaken you up, so that people around you can smell the aroma of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Been shaking lately? Holy Spirit is a shaker. He shook the prison when Paul and Silas. Bible says they started singing about midnight. Said the gates of the prison shook. The Holy Spirit shook them off of him. Now I'm going to show you something. The Spirit of God was on Samson. And because Samson's disobedience, Holy Spirit couldn't shake him. He had to shake himself. But when he shook himself, he couldn't get loose. See, that's what happened when he tried to do it in the flesh. See, oh God, he tried to shake himself. And the Bible says he couldn't get loose, not knowing that the Spirit of God had left him. You see a man with the Spirit on him, then you see a man with the Spirit off of him. Samson was supposed to have been so strong. Strength wasn't in his hair. Strength was in the Holy Ghost. It was in the Holy Ghost. Because when he shook himself, he had hair. But he didn't know that the Holy Spirit had left. It is important to have the Holy Spirit in our lives. I'm just here to remind you and try to restore and try to shake you up and encourage you a little bit. Try to hunger and thirst for the Holy Spirit. Desire the Holy Spirit in your life. Say, there's more, Lord. I know there's more. There's more to you. I know there's more to you. You're not a powerless God and you're undefeated. You don't want me to be out here losing every battle. No. No, I'm not losing. You have to make up in your mind and say that. I'm not losing. I got too much going on the inside of me to lose. You got ideas. Some of you got ideas now, things you want to do in your life, and some of you are thinking that it's too late for you. I want to say to you, as long as you have the Spirit of God moving in your life, it is never too late. It's not too late. People don't think that you qualify for the J-O-B. Ask the Holy Spirit to equip you. Equip me, Holy Spirit. You know what? Peter had to talk to people who were more intelligent than he was. And he confounded them because the Holy Spirit spoke through him. And after he spoke to them and let them know where he stood with the power, 5,000 people ran to the church. The Holy Spirit gives you that kind of power just for confrontation, just for conflict, just for the conflict that you go through. He gives you the Holy Spirit so you can come through it. Candidates, is anybody defeated in here? Let me see the hands of the undefeated. I'm undefeated. Haven't lost a fight yet. Don't plan on losing a fight. Don't plan on losing a round. Don't plan on losing an iota. I don't plan on losing. Don't plan on losing. It ain't in my plans. It's not in God's plans. It's not in God's plan for me to lose. I'm born to be a victor. I'm not going to lose. I'm not going to lose. You're undefeated. Now, how you stay undefeated? You walk in the Spirit. The Bible is clear. It says you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Your flesh telling you to do one thing, but if you walk in the Spirit, flesh can't win. Don't let your flesh turn you into Samson. Make you think you can shake yourself and it'll be all right. I'll get out of this. A lot of people think that. I can get out of it. I got in it. I can get out of it. Yes. No, but you're not the one that put you in it. Yes. You got to understand that. Yes. See? You got to have the power working in you. We'll talk more about the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because we need to understand what it's like to have a Spirit-filled life. Yes. What it means to walk in the Spirit. Yes. Be acquainted with the Holy Ghost. See, he's not some mysterious entity. They were on a boat, and Jesus came walking on water. And they supposed that he was a ghost. Fear came. And they shook because they thought he was a ghost, simply because he was doing what the Holy Spirit was allowing him to do. It was the Holy Spirit allowing Jesus to walk on water. It was the Holy Spirit's power. Jesus was never void of that. He was always with the Spirit's power. And they said, it's a ghost. Jesus said, hey, fear not. It's not a ghost as you suppose. See, people are going to think some mysterious things about you when you start walking in the Spirit. But you have to surrender. You surrender your life and what people think about you. You got to surrender that. You know what we said years ago? When you lose your life, that's when you find it. That's what the word says. It says when you lose your life, that's when you find it. You got to surrender. If you surrender your life to the Holy Spirit, he'll use you. He'll come in. He'll dwell in you. He'll abide in you. He'll renew your strength. He'll give you truths. That's what he's here for, to lead us and guide us in all truth. Now, if somebody promised you something, wouldn't you be looking for it? Let's start looking for the Holy Spirit, because the Father promised it. Jesus the Son promised it. We walk in power. You want to join church today? Yes, sir. Come on up here. Join this family. Oh, you all right? Hallelujah. This is a young man who